Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, good morning, Wellspring Church. Boy, are we excited to be with you today. We've been working hard all week to make sure we could connect. And if it is your very first time joining us, man, we're so excited that you're here. Today, we're continuing a series that we started last week called Now What? And it's amazing. It's a series answering the question, you know, what do we do when we don't know what's next? The amazing thing about this series is that we planned this series last fall. And God knew exactly what we would need to hear, even more than we did. And so today's week two, we're continuing the series. And so if you are new to our church, if you missed last week, I'm going to encourage you, if you haven't already, to download our app. You can go there. You can watch last week's episode. It's also a great way to stay connected right now, because here's what we learned last week and really what we've been talking about for the entire semester, and it's this: better is possible. Even in this moment of uncertainty, even this moment of lack of clarity, we know that better is possible. And the reason we know that is because last week we discovered our God promised us that better is possible. And he promised us in this verse where he says that we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. And see, what that means for us, for those of us who choose to follow God and who choose to follow Jesus with our lives, it means that no matter the circumstances, no matter the situation, we can trust and we can believe that our God can somehow turn it into good. And last week, we learned to pray this prayer: God, help me to trust your promise that better is possible, even in this pit. Now, if you're new today, you may not be sure what a pit is, and I'm going to explain that in just a moment, because what we did last week is we basically discovered that really the best way for us to learn this lesson is to observe it in the life of someone else. And God was really good to us. He actually gave us a story. He gave us an example through a man named Joseph, a man who lived a long time ago and who found himself in a very difficult situation. If you were here last week, you know Joseph was the second youngest brother of 12. And unfortunately, his brothers didn't care for him very much. He was his father's favorite, and they knew that. They got jealous. And last week, they decided to kill Joseph, which is a little crazy. And last week, we left Joseph in a pit, because what they decided to do was to just throw him into a hole and just leave him there. To let him die. In fact, I want to read for you real quick exactly where we left him. We left it last week right here. That then they grabbed him and they threw him into the cistern. They just threw him into this hole. Now, I want to pick up right there, because then something else happens. They throw their brother into this pit. They throw him into this hole. And I want you to see what happens next. Then just as they were sitting down to eat. Now, that might be one of the coldest lines in Scripture. That is cold. They throw their brother in a hole. He's probably screaming. He's begging to get out. And the brothers just decide to have some lunch. They just chill out and eat. And then this is what happens. As they were sitting down to eat, they looked up and saw a caravan of camels in the distance coming toward them. So they're having lunch, and they see this caravan coming, and they have an idea. Here's the idea. Judah said to his brothers, "Hey, what will we gain by killing our brother? We'd have to cover up the crime. Maybe they're starting to come to their senses, but they're not." Let's keep reading. "Instead of hurting him, let's sell him to those Ishmaelite traders. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood. Hey, let's not kill him. Let's just sell him." And that's exactly what happens. Joseph's brothers sell him into slavery. They take the beautiful coat his father had given to him last week. They cover it in animal's blood. They go home. They tell their father that they found the coat, that an animal had killed their brother. So their father, Jacob, is experiencing a ton of grief. The brothers are experiencing a ton of relief. And Joseph is headed in a direction he's not at all prepared for. He's sold into slavery. He is being carted off to a place he's never been. He's in a situation that wasn't of his own choosing, wasn't of his own making, and he really doesn't know where to turn. Talk about not knowing what to do when you don't know what's next. Now, this is where we left Joseph last week. And if this were a movie, this would be the climax of the movie. This would be when everyone would lean in. Because if this were a movie, this would be what's called the all is lost moment. Now, you may not be familiar with the term, the all is lost moment, but you are definitely familiar with the concept of an all is lost moment. An all is lost moment is crucial and critical to basically every story you've ever read, every movie you've ever watched. It is a critical piece of engaging, dynamic storytelling. The all is lost moment is the moment near the end of the movie where you just become completely afraid that the hero is going to fail. When all seems lost, when everything is going awry, nothing seems to be working. In fact, one of the most famous all is lost moments of all time is in episode 5 of Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back. It's at the end of the movie where Luke learns that Darth Vader is his father. Luke has his hand cut off. His buddy Han gets frozen, and Luke literally falls into a pit. All seems lost. Recently, there's been one in Avengers Infinity War. It's simply known as the snap. The moment when Thanos snaps his fingers and obliterates half of the world's population, including Spider-Man, one of our favorites. These all is lost moments are very common in movies. You're used to them, you see them, and in a movie, they're kind of exciting. They kind of bring us back wanting more. What did you do when you ended episode 5 as a little kid? You couldn't wait for 6. What did you do at the end of Infinity War? You couldn't wait to go back because you wanted to see what would happen. And spoiler alert, we know good things happen in both of those stories. Sorry if you haven't seen Avengers Infinity Wars. Don't worry a bit. Endgame's really good. You should watch it. But here's what we know. The all is lost moment is really great in movies. The all is lost moment can feel horrifying in real life. And those all is lost moments in real life is what we called last week, it's what we called pits. And we called it that because Joseph had been thrown into a literal pit. That's where his brothers had left him. And the reason we're doing this series is because many of us can find ourselves in figurative pits, tragedies, circumstances beyond our control, where it's easy to look around and believe that all is lost. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. For some of us, this past week has been a period of uncertainty, has been a period of feeling like all is lost. But the reason I bring this up is because I think there's a reason that all stories require an all is lost moment. There's a reason we as humans are drawn to those stories, drawn to those moments. And it is because I believe God has wired our heart to hope. He has wired our heart to believe that good things can happen. He has wired our heart to believe when all circumstances seem like they have failed, when we don't know what to do, that we truly can believe in that moment that better really is possible. So today, if you're at home and you feel like you're in an all is lost moment, if you feel uncertain, if you feel confused, I want to say today, God gives you permission to hope. He gives you permission to believe that better is possible. And as we return to Joseph's story today, we're going to learn why we can believe that. We're going to learn why it can be trusted. Because here's what Joseph's story is going to teach us today. The reason better is possible is because our God has made us a promise, and it's this. It's that our God won't leave the pit without us. In the darkness, in the questions, in the uncertainty, he is with us, just like he was with Joseph. So, with all that said, I want to return to Joseph's story. I want to dive back in because Joseph finds himself moving into an even worse situation than he was last week. So, what is God going to do? Here's what we're told happens to Joseph once he arrives. When Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So what happens is Joseph is sold into slavery. Joseph is bought by a man named Potiphar, who was the captain of the king's guard, and he is put into work. And I know you're asking, whoa, wait a minute, how is this good? It's not. I'm not saying this is good. God's promise is that he will turn it to good. And that promise means eventually. It doesn't mean immediately. The promise we have immediately is that even in the pits, even in the darkness, even in the struggles, even in the pain, even in the all is lost moments, we're not alone. That our God is with us. And that's exactly what we're told about Joseph. Look at the next line. We are told that the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him in this moment. I just feel like some of us need to be reminded this morning. The Lord is with you. Your God sees you. Your God knows you're afraid. Your God knows that you're struggling. Your God knows that you can't see what's next. He can, he does, and he's with you. And it's why he's giving you a church and a place who just happened to be walking through this very thing at this very moment. Because the exact same things that God does in Joseph's life, he is ready and willing to do in ours. And that's why we have this example. So let's keep reading. Joseph sold into slavery. The Lord is with Joseph. And watch this. So Joseph succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Joseph succeeds. You know what that means? That means when Joseph got up and when he went to work and when he served his master, he did it well. He served hard. He did the best thing he could. If you're here last week, you know we learned that when pit happens, we can either break down or break through. Now, Joseph could have decided, you know what? This is crazy. I don't know how this has happened to me. I give up. I'm going to pout. I'm going to turn my back on God. But he didn't do it because he understood that God was with him. So even in those dark circumstances, he was able to get up. He was able to trust his God. He was able to serve. And God helped him succeed in those moments. He actually began to break through in those moments. And I know you're sitting there and you're listening and you're saying, okay, this sounds great, but how in the world can you have a breakthrough when you're living in a foreign land, you have no freedom, you're working for someone else, you don't speak the language? Trey, how am I supposed to apply that in my life? How am I supposed to say that's a breakthrough? How do we take hope from Joseph in this moment? It's a phenomenal question. And here's why I can take hope from Joseph in this moment. It's because I've read the end of the story. It's because I know for Joseph, this is just a moment. I know that this pit is nothing more than a pit stop. And because I've seen the end of the story, it's easier for me now to find God in the middle. Now, the reason I bring that up is because I don't know the end of my story. I don't know the end of your story, but you know who does? Our God. The God of the universe knows how our story ends, and here's what he's promised. He's promised that it will be good. The end is good. He will turn it to good for those who love him and follow him. So just like with Joseph, in our lives right now, we can take solace and find hope in the middle because we know it's just the middle. We know the moment is just a moment. That's what we see in Joseph's life. And so I hope that God can begin to reveal to us as we continue to study Joseph's story. Because Joseph does find success in these moments. God does begin to bless him. God does begin to give him success. And look what even happens. Let's keep reading. So Potiphar, that's his boss, notices this. He notices that God is with Joseph. He notices that God is blessing what Joseph does. And he realizes the Lord is with him and that it was the Lord giving him success in everything he did. Now, here's what that means about Joseph. That means not only was Joseph working hard, not only was he serving, he was giving God credit. Potiphar would have known nothing about Joseph's God unless Joseph told him. He's in this dark moment, and he is still praising God. Now, that sounds foreign to us until you think about some of the people you know in your own life, some of the people we have here at Wellspring who have walked through pits, who have walked through tragedies, who have walked through illnesses, who have walked through losing spouses, who have walked through betrayals. And they've clung to God in that moment. They've even praised God in that moment. And we look at them and we remark, how? How do they do that? It's because they understand And God's using them to teach us that even in those dark moments, our God is with us. I'm not sure anything brings God more glory and recognition than when we celebrate him in pain. Anybody can thank God when things are good. But what we learn from Joseph is how to look forward, how to trust our God is going to make things better, and even praise him in that moment. That's what Joseph was doing, and it pays off for Joseph. Check this out. So Potiphar notices this. Potiphar sees everything that's happening, and Potiphar decides to give Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. You know what that means? That means he put Joseph in charge of everything. Joseph begins running the show. Now again, it may not be the best thing you've ever thought of. It may not be the best thing we can imagine, but given Joseph's circumstances, given Joseph's situation, that's pretty good. God has come through. God has been with Joseph, and he has moved Joseph to a place that Joseph can begin to thrive. Now, is this the ultimate promise God has made on Joseph's life? No. We still have two more weeks, and we'll still get there. But it's important for us to learn, even in this moment, that we can still cling to God. We can believe our God is with us, and even in pain, he can push us forward. And as we begin to push forward, and as we begin to experience success, something else is going to happen. And it's the very thing that happens to Joseph. See, in the darkness in the pit, he clung to God. And as he began to climb out, as he began to find his way out, begin to find himself with a little success, his devotion to God was tested. Here's what we're told next. We're told that Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. Guys, I have read the Bible cover to cover multiple times. Very few times does the Bible go out of the way to tell us how handsome someone is. And he's telling us this for a reason. Joseph was very handsome, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Potiphar's wife had eyes for Joseph. Potiphar's wife begins making moves on Joseph. Potiphar's wife begins inviting Joseph to be with her. And at this moment, Joseph has a choice. In fact, this is one of the most pivotal moments in Joseph's life. I mean, let's be honest. Who would blame him? Who would blame Joseph if he were to decide, you know what, my life has been so hard. I work for this man. He doesn't pay me. I do everything. I deserve this. I've earned this. Of course I can do this. But that's not what Joseph does. Here's what Joseph does. But Joseph refused. Even in that moment, Joseph understood, hey, I can't do this. And he tries his best to explain it to Potiphar's wife. He continues, he says, look, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. He keeps going. He says, no one here has more authority than I do. He's held back nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. See, he understands in that moment, he still must be true and loyal to the God that has been with him. And I think this is really important for us to understand, because sometimes pit lasts days, sometimes they last weeks, sometimes they last months. Sometimes we can get down. Sometimes we can get discouraged. Sometimes we can begin to lose faith in our God. And I think the story is here, this pivotal piece of the story is here to remind us that there are actually two lessons we learn from Joseph's story. Number one, we learn that our God won't leave the pit without us. He has been with Joseph, and he will continue to be with Joseph. But just as important, we learn that our promise isn't possible without him. The promise that God has made for us is only possible when we lean in, when we trust, when we choose to obey, when we choose to follow, even when it seems difficult. Even as it's going to happen to Joseph, even when it costs us something. Because unfortunately for Joseph, his principal stand here is going to lead him directly back to yet another pit. Joseph continues to rebuff Potiphar's wife's advances. She continues to become more and more aggressive in her advances. One day, Joseph finds himself alone in the house, and Potiphar's wife comes up from behind him, puts her arms around him. Joseph wiggles free and leaves, but in the process, his robe, his coat comes off. Potiphar's wife is holding the coat. Joseph flees the house. She's now embarrassed. She screams. She accuses Joseph of attacking her. Of course, Potiphar believes his wife. And we are told that they get together, they talk about it, and here's what Potiphar chooses to do. He took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held. And there, he remained. I mean, Joseph had it. He had gone from the pit to the pinnacle, back to the pit. And again, just like last time, this wasn't his fault. He had done nothing to cause this. He was literally following his God. He was literally doing what he was supposed to do. And now he finds himself in an Egyptian prison. Talk about an all is lost moment. But see, something tells me that when Joseph left that house and when Joseph walked into that prison, he was a little less afraid than when he walked into Potiphar's house. That he had a little more certainty, a little more clarity, and it's from this story that we can gain the same clarity. Do you know why? Because here's what I discovered from the story, and here's what you know is true in your life, and here's what I know is true in my life, and we don't always apply it in the moment of struggles, in the moment of lost, of all his lost moments, but we know it's true, and it's this. It's the first pit that's usually the worst pit. It's the first moment of pain that's usually the worst, and here's why. Here's why I say that. All of us can look back on our life, and we can see times where we've been in pain, times we've been in all the lost moments, times we've been in pits. Right? We can look back and we can see that, and we're out of them. We see the good that has come from it. So we can look back and we can know, hey, this isn't as bad as I thought it was. But that first time, that first pit, that first struggle, well, that was terrifying because we'd never experienced it before. And we didn't know what to do. It was our very first all is lost moment. In fact, think about all is lost moments in movies. Let's be honest. Do they even work anymore? Like when you watch movies now and they do their best to create that all is lost moment, they do their best to create the idea that the hero is going to lose, that it's all going to fail. Do you really feel tension anymore? Do you really feel anxiety? Or have you not, like me, lured through watching story after story after story, hey, the hero is going to win. I don't know how they're going to do it. But we become more excited in how they're going to save the person. And way less challenged by the idea of, are they going to save that person? Because we've seen the stories over and over and over again. Dare I say, I believe that is what our God wants to do in our lives. He points us to Joseph's story. He points us back to our own stories because he wants to build in us a trust, a confidence, a surety in the present all is lost moment, in the present pits, not to wonder, will we get through this, but to marvel at how is our God going to get us through this. See, that's what I believe Joseph was thinking as he headed to prison, because he had already experienced God moving. So as he walks into that prison, he's thinking, I'm not worried about God's not going to save me, but I wonder how he's going to do it. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. See, my prayer for us today, as we walk through pits, as we walk through all those lost moments, as we experience the uncertainty of the very current situation we all find ourselves in with the coronavirus, my prayer is that God will remind us, I've been with you before. I got you through before. I will get you through this time. And it's with that in mind that here's what I want to challenge all of us to embrace this week. It's a principle we learn from Joseph, and it's a thing that we can begin to practice in our own lives. And it's this, that the best way to recognize God's promise in the present is to remember his provision in the past. The best way to be assured and to gain hope in the current present moment is to be reminded he was with us before. He brought us through the pit before. That's what's on Joseph's mind as he's walking in to that prison. And that's what I'm praying for God to bring to our minds and our hearts this week, that the same God that's been with us before will be with us again. The same God that has moved before will move again. The same God that has shown us before the truth that better is possible will be with us again, even in the darkness. We can look back and we can be reminded the lesson of Joseph's story today. Better is possible, better is promised, even in the pit, because we know our God won't leave the pit without us. He hasn't left you, Wellspring. He hasn't forgotten. He hasn't moved on. He's with you. He's for you. And he is working in this situation, in your current pit, in your current all is lost moment, just like he did before. So this week, here is my prayer and my encouragement for you. When you feel distraught by the current situation, when you feel distraught by the current pit, ask God to remind you of what he's done before. Spend some time reflecting, maybe even send some texts, maybe have some phone calls, maybe do some group chat to talk about the previous pits, those moments in your life that you were sure things were over. And you look back now and you think, wow, God was good. Wow, God really was at work. And as we do that, as we are reminded of his provision in the past, it gives us the ability to recognize his promise here and now, because he is with you, he is with me, he was with Joseph, and he will be with us as we walk out of whatever pit we find ourselves in. Now, today we are going to leave Joseph again in a pit. We're going to leave Joseph in prison, but he's walking in more equipped than he was last week. My prayer today is that we are walking more equipped than we were last week as well, that we are equipped with the reminder that our God is with us. We are equipped with the reminder that our God is for us. We are equipped with the reminder that our God is working even when we can't see it. That we are equipped with the reminder that even though we don't know the end of our story, our God does. And here's his promise. The end is good. So this week, may we cling to him in the middle. May we cling to him in the uncertainty. And may we allow him to grow us, to grow our faith, to grow our strength, so that not only can we find hope in this moment, but so that we can be a light of hope to our community. Let me pray for you. God, we just love you so much, and we are just so, so thankful for your son. God, we're so thankful for the gift of technology, that we're so thankful to be living in a time that even though we can't gather, we can still unite around you and unite around your purpose. I pray for every single person watching from home, in the car, at work. God, I just pray that you move in all our hearts this morning, move in all our hearts, unite our hearts. May we be reminded of your goodness. May we be reminded of your provision in the past as we seek your promise here and now. We love you. We are so thankful. God, we pray for our community. We pray for healing. We pray for wisdom. And God, we pray that we can be a light of good in this uncertain moment. We love you. And it's in your son's amazing holy name we pray. Amen.